Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of May 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Gary Schnutke will be here. We'll take up what might make a financially stable farm in the Midwest. $60,000 in net income. That's on and off farm income both. And what the prices of corn and soybeans would have to be in order for that to happen. And then we'll take up the weather forecast, that with the guys at Risk Pulse in Chicago, and we'll also cover what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's what the numbers look like in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures finished the nearby contract in the July corn at $3.94. It was up 3.25. September at $3.96, 2.75 higher. In December, corn at $4 even, up a penny and 3/4. March at $4.08 and 1/4, up 2.25. In July of next year at $4.16, up 1.75 cents. July beans today, $10.64 and a half, down a half. August down a quarter at $10.66 and 3/4. September unchanged. November up a half at $10.55. And January at $10.53 and 3/4. They have finished up 2 cents. Bean meal futures at $3.61.20, down $1.80. The bean oil 29 cents higher at $32.79. Wheat futures July contract unchanged. Change for the soft red at 4.74 and 3/4. December there at 4.99, down 1/4 cent. The hard red July at 4.53 and a half, down 2.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby June at $122.95. That was 47 and a half lower. The August at 119.42 and a half, though, up 70 cents. The rest of those contracts were all higher. Feeder cattle May contract up $1.87 and a half at $1.48.92 and a half, and the August at $147.85, that is, up $1.60. And lean hogs in the June at $82.97 and a half, $1.02 and a half higher. July at $83.47 and a half, 92 and a half cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You may always find our programming online on demand anytime you'd like. The address there is WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil, June contract, $47.74, $1.53 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.57 and a half. That's up 3.1 cents. Natural gas today at $2.04, down 6.2 cents. The wholesale price of a gallon of gasoline, June contract on the RBOB at $1.60 and 6 cents. That's a penny and 0.8 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 195 points higher at 17,690. The U.S. dollar at 94.56. That's down 0.038. And gold futures on the day at $1,273.90, $1.30 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. Sunny skies, 64 degrees. Southwest winds at 11 to 13, gusting to 16. Showers are likely this evening after 11. Cloudy, a low of 48 degrees. Southwest winds at 5 to 8. They'll be light and variable after midnight. Chance of precipitation, 70%. And Tuesday, a 40% chance of rain showers, mainly before 2 in the afternoon. Cloudy and 60 degrees on an east wind at 5 to 9. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 44. Northeast winds at 9 miles an hour. And Wednesday, sunny skies and 66. East-northeast winds at 8 to 10. On Wednesday evening, mostly clear, low 45, sunny skies on Thursday and 70 degrees. Friday, a chance of showers after 8, partly sunny otherwise in 71. And Saturday, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high of 73. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon, the 16th day of May. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in the marketplace. What are your expectations for this week in the oil seeds?
Well, kind of maybe choppy, sideways, a little lower trend. The bean markets have had a heck of a run here over the last 2 months. We're basically run over $2 from the lows there on anticipated demand, and also we've seen a large speculative interest enter the bean and soybean meal market, and we're at levels now where it could sort of back and fill somewhat. Basis has widened quite a bit on this run up through here, suggesting that we're probably a little technically heavily on the long side, and it's time in here to maybe unwind some of this long bean, short corn, long bean, short wheat spread for a short period of time. Overall, on the bean side, we'll see how the weather moves across the Midwest here over the next few days. Informa came out with a little higher bean acreage estimate than what the USDA was at. Informa put bean acres 83 million acres versus the USDA 82.2 versus 82.6 last year. They increased their crop above the USDA by about 42 million. They're at 3.842 billion bushels versus the USDA 3.8. We raised a little 3.9 last year. So it indicates that maybe the bean acreage could grow just a little bit here as we move through the next week or two.
As we'll hear a bit later in this program, and Daryl Good posted to the website this afternoon at Farm Doc Daily, the acreage that has not been planted, and you'll know this very well, is mostly in Indiana and Ohio. Will farmers there really make a switch to more soybeans? One of the things I might note is that both of those states tend to be soybeans heavy to begin with.
Yeah, in that particular area, we're going to see that visiting with Indiana on the east. There's some pretty good chunks of ground that guys say they're going to switch. We'll see how the next week goes yet or so, but for the most part, that's where the increase is going to materialize, and those states too is heavy on second crop beans after wheat also. So they're geared up to do that. The key is whether they were able to do any field prep ahead of that. But we're hearing more and more of that, how many acres we'll see here as we move forward.
And speaking of that, what do you think USDA's crop progress report will show this afternoon?
As far as the nation, we'll see corn estimate come in between the 73 and 77% complete. 5-year average is 70%. Soybeans expected to fall in this 34 to 38% complete. Average is about 32%. What's going to be the interesting part is, as you kind of mentioned there, is this is the breakdowns amongst the state. What part of the state is ahead and behind for the most part. Wheat conditions are expected to actually show a little improvement. Good to excellent category for wheat is in the category of the 63 to 64% good to excellent versus about that 45% a year ago there, Todd.
I think I can safely say that tomorrow during the closing market report, when the Indiana statistician gives their update, we will have a good idea of where acreage has been planted. One of the things I do on those is to edit them each week, and they do a breakdown only in the Indiana statistician's report by region in the state. So I'll leave that in tomorrow, at least for soybean planting, so we get a good idea, and you can tune in to see what that looks like. What else should we talk about today? Do we need to take up the livestock in any form?
Well, that's kind of an interesting commodity to watch. On the pork side of the equation, we continue to see the demand picture sort of be a promise long-term in through here. U.S. exports to China particularly have been large. You know, keep seeing a percentage increase every month and year over year. So our export market to Asia continues to be the bright spot short-term and probably a big bullish aspect long-term. When you look at the lean contract here at this 83 area or so, you know, you project that into a regular a contract, you know, we're talking strong pork prices. Then the beef sector here, overall cutout values, demand has really surged. There was fear that the fat cattle market could drop down to this 110 level here later on this summer. But up front here, there's just real strong demand underneath the marketplace, and so we're seeing the market hold together much better than anticipated. The big thing is to be weather and cookout feature, and then probably, I guess, more important that would be that export news too, Todd.
And finally, if you could come back to the corn very quickly for me, what are the fundamentals that producers really need to keep an eye on now? We've talked a lot about El Nino, the change to La Nina, heat during the summer months, some dryness that could come. Of course, the futures look ahead as opposed to reacting to really what's happening in the marketplace.
Well, yeah, it's the speculative trout's I've already entered a long position on anticipated weather concerns. Too wet, nitrogen loss, maybe some smaller yields, you know, a little bit of pressure on the marketplace. So as we move forward here, we'll have to watch and see if that weather concern follows through. We'll see what type of acreage we have. But on corn, too, this ethanol demand continues to remain strong. And the big thing on the supply-demand balance sheet, fundamentally, you got to watch moving into this new crop year is exports. They're out, the numbers on the supply-demand balance sheet are quite positive for exports to increase. So we got to make sure we're competitive. And the key is kind of that southern hemisphere with that smaller Brazilian second crop. See if we generate some business from that. And there's even talk that maybe Brazil, by lowering their import tax, might eventually buy some U.S. corn. We've not seen that happen just yet, but that would be kind of a little positive shot in the arm that maybe these world corn stocks and maybe world corn demand is much larger than what we've been led to believe.
We'll talk to you in another week.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, anti-ethanol lawmakers are trying again to undermine the nation's renewable fuels standard, to which an industry leader says, forget it. Growth Energy CEO Tom Baez says the latest anti-ethanol bill is going nowhere. Republican House members Bill Flores of Texas and Bob Goodlatte of Vermont joined Democrats Peter Welch of Vermont and Jim Costa of California to introduce a 9.78% volume cap on ethanol and gasoline versus up to 85%. Percent blends allowed now. Baez responds.
It's not going to move this year. I mean, you know, Congress is not going to take much action on anything. And it's just the same song by the same people over and over again.
The Renewable Fuels Association says the bill would gut the RFS and set back decades of U.S. energy and climate change policy. Baez of Growth Energy argues ethanol is saving U.S. consumers at the pump.
Billions. Billions. We saved about an estimated dollar a gallon for most economic models every year because of the volume and the blend and the performance.
Baez dismisses the critics' argument that ethanol is burning up the nation's food supply and raising food prices. He counters that food prices are stable, grain prices are down, fuel is cheap, and gasoline use is up. Well, elsewhere in Washington, D.C., the House Agriculture Committee wants the EPA to explain why the Environmental Protection Agency accidentally published a final report early. Documents released last month online said glyphosate was not likely to be carcinogenic to humans. However, EPA pulled the report 3 days after publishing it, saying that the documents were not ready to be released. The documents indicated the information was the final report from the EPA. It also included an assessment of atrazine. Lawmakers and agriculture industry groups together claim the errantly published documents indicate problems with EPA's management of its chemical political review and publications process. Lawmakers also asked what steps still need to be taken to finalize and issue the glyphosate report. EPA officials say the agency will respond appropriately to the letter. Well, let's stay in the area of glyphosate, but only as it's related to the business of Monsanto. Speculators say Bayer's potential bid for Monsanto may lead the company to sell some assets to help fund its quest for the seed company, worth an estimated $43 billion. Bayer has held preliminary discussions internally and with advisors on an offer for Monsanto. Market experts say Bayer could shed its stake in its plastics unit and its animal health business to make the acquisition work. BASF is also reportedly considering a bid for Monsanto. The potential bids are just the latest in a line of acquisitions within the industry. Dow Chemical and DuPont agreed to merge in December of last year, and ChemChina agreed to purchase Syngenta earlier this year. Both deals face U.S. regulatory scrutiny. And finally today, the Farm Credit Administration says farmland prices continue to soften across the country, particularly here in the Midwest. At a monthly meeting last week, the Farm Credit Administration Board heard a report on farmland values across the nation. The report says a third consecutive year of declining crop prices and reduced farm income is causing cropland values to soften. The decrease follows 5 years of double-digit price increases from 2009 for most Midwest states, with cropland values reaching record levels in 2014. The Federal Reserve Bank's quarterly surveys of agricultural bankers found that for the fourth quarter of 2015, cropland values declined between 2 and 6% on average over the past year in the Midwest, as well as in some mountain states. Depending on land quality and the region of the state, some cropland is down as much as 10% over the past year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, up next, we'll explore that last story just a bit as it relates to the price of corn and soybeans and what farmers can expect their incomes to look like this year. Gary Schnittke will be here. He's an agricultural economist that writes for the Farm Doc Daily website. Grain farmers throughout the Midwest are suffering, you already know that, through a third straight year of losses, and prices don't look to get much higher, even high enough yet to stabilize their incomes. A University of Illinois study suggests the cash price of corn needs to be $4.20 a bushel to make that happen. It's been a rough couple of years, and grain farmers need higher prices to stabilize their operations. Stable means $60,000 in on- and off-farm income on a 1,500-acre corn and soybean farm in central Illinois, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnittke.
To have that happen, prices have to be at $4.20 for corn, $10.20 for soybeans. So that's sort of the point with expected yields. If we're below that, we can expect to see financial working capital deteriorate. And if we're above that, we can expect to see gains in net income and financial stability.
That is to say, if the price of corn is $4.20 and the crop is below average, the farm wouldn't be financially stable. By the way, the $60,000 net income is not an arbitrary number.
No, that's where we see, you know, we look at Illinois FBFM records, and if we're at that level, we're covering the investments that need to be made, withdrawing some levels for our family living and repaying debt. And so that's sort of the break-even level between financial stability and not financial stability.
The key to quantifying this work, says Gary Schnittke, is to look at the prices in August. This is because we'll be close enough to harvest to have a pretty good idea about actual cash prices for the crop and looking forward to the 2017 season.
So if we're at $4 and below corn prices, we are going to have to again look very hard at cutting cost for 2017 production.
It all means grain farmers throughout the nation may need to be wary of the price of corn in Chicago and take advantage of rallies as they happen. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, I've got a couple of minutes here. I'd like to point you to the Farm Doc Daily website, where Daryl Good today posted an article on supply and demand for corn and soybeans. I'll read you the last two paragraphs. Good writes in the Weekly Outlook, with demand for U.S. corn and soybeans expected to be bolstered by smaller crops in South America, robust Chinese demand for soybeans, and expanding livestock production in the U.S., the focus will once again turn back to the prospective size of the U.S. crops. The first issue is the magnitude of planted acreage, with two unsettled questions. First is the question of whether or not the magnitude of total acreage of spring-planted crops will exceed intentions reported in March. Second is the question of the magnitude of corn and soybean acreage. With soybean prices increasing more than corn prices since the planting intention survey was conducted, and with the delay in corn planting in some areas, expectations are for some switching from corn to soybeans, writes Daryl Good. The most likely areas for this to happen, he thinks, are where corn planting is expected to be most delayed, including Ohio and Indiana. Planting intention for those two states were reported at 9.35 million acres for corn, 10.2 for soybeans. The USDA's crop progress report indicated that only 22% of those 19.5 million acres had been planted as of the 8th day of May. Within a fairly wide range, then, he says, of acreage, the size of the 2016 U.S. corn and soybean crops will mostly depend on the nature of the growing season and average yields. For much of the winter and early spring, the consensus seemed to be that without a weather issue, the summer that resulted in below-trend yields, corn and soybean prices would continue to decline. If the USDA's demand projections are correct, he now says it seems appropriate to reverse that thinking. Without large U.S. crops this year, prices will likely move higher. You can read this article from Daryl Good on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County always join us on a Monday afternoon. That's the same today. It's Greg Johnson. He's with us. Thanks, Greg, for being around.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me what farmers are asking about today, if and when they do call.
When is it going to stop raining? that seems to be the most pressing concern. We had not a lot of rain last week, but it rained every day, a quarter inch every day, it seemed like. And with the cool temperatures, it just didn't seem to want to dry out. So I do think when we see the progress numbers tonight, that we'll see very little progress made in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio. Talking to some of our elevators out west, though, they did make some progress. Iowa, the Dakotas, Nebraska, so the Western Corn Belt continues to move along, and the Eastern Corn Belt continues to remind me of last year, where we got off to the wet start.
And last year, of course, there was a lot of excitement within some of the industry about the late planting, some of the wetness that persisted all the way through June. However, we had some really good crops last year.
We did, and we had the corn planted. It was a lot of the beans that that were late last year. This year, there's still a fair amount of corn that has not been planted yet, and I know farmers will try to plant corn up through the first week of June when the crop insurance guarantee runs out. So we still have some time, but if you believe the weather forecasters, we've got a chance of rain tonight and then again Friday night, and then the 6 to 10 day or the 8 to 14 day is above normal precip for Illinois, Indiana. So it doesn't sound like we're going to get very many windows, but we just need to miss one of those rains is what needs to happen. I mean, we've got two rains forecasted this week. If we could miss one of them and have the temperatures warm up a little bit, then maybe we could, definitely make some progress.
Thanks so much.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's St. Honorandus Day. He's patron saint of bakers, pastry chefs, and flour merchants. On this day in agricultural history in 1832, Philip Danforth Armour was born. An American industrialist, he was a pioneer in the use of refrigeration and meat canning. Armour & Company helped make Chicago the meatpacking capital of the world. His company was one of the first to employ an assembly line technique. In 1861, John Stevens Henslow died. The British clergyman and botanist was a mentor of Charles Darwin. To get farmers to apply scientific methods, he gave lectures on the fermentation of manure. He also showed Irish farmers how to get starch from rotten potatoes during the potato famine of 1845 and 1846. In 1947, Sir Frederick Gowland Hopkins died. He discovered what we now call vitamins, essential nutrients needed in animal diets to maintain health. Hopkins, who received the Nobel Prize in 1929 for his discovery, was expelled from high school for truancy. He then became an insurance salesman, and he was 28 years old before earning enough money to attend medical school. And in 2005, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Michigan and New York could not prohibit people from buying wine online from out-of-state wineries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us on a sunshiny day. How about that?
Yeah, it's certainly nice to see the sun here today and yesterday. Certainly have had those days have been few and far between a bit here this spring, especially the past week or so. But we are going to see a bit more of the sun, especially in areas of the northern Midwest as we go through this week. And the pattern for this week in particular will feature across the northern portion of the Midwest, generally dry conditions. And we're talking basically areas along and north of Interstate 80. As you go south of there, though, that is where there will be some rain activity. We don't see anything that excessive or heavy, but amounts look to be in the range of basically 1 to 1.5 inches. So that is where there will be some delays in fieldwork operations overall. And that includes some parts of central southern Illinois, central southern Indiana, southern Ohio. But again, areas along and north of I-80, it looks basically wide open this entire week.
Our high for today, only in the mid-60s in our area. That's pretty cool. We'd like to have some heat to come along with this eventually. Do you see that too?
We do see some heat coming in here, Todd, not the next 4 to 5 days, but thereafter. In fact, starting over the upcoming weekend, temperatures look to rebound back to normal, even slightly warmer than normal levels here across the entire Corn Belt, and look to stay that way all of next week. So still have a few more days of cooler than normal readings, but that and not as cold as what we had back on Saturday and Sunday mornings, but lingering coolness, but heat will return this weekend and next week.
A little bit like last year, eastern Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio lagging behind. They've been wet. They really need some time to dry out. However, I think they may be in the rainfall areas. Can you give me a more detailed look at them?
Well, yeah, especially the southern parts of those states, we'll see some of the rain activity and higher amounts. But even there, overall, nothing that excessive. But you know, with the cool and even damp soils from this weekend's rains, that'll keep things a little bit on the slow side here as we go through this week. But again, as you move up north, the northern parts of those states will see a generally favorable progress due to lack of rainfall this week.
All right. Thanks again. We'll talk with you on Monday next week.
All right. My pleasure, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming online on demand for you to listen to whenever you would like. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.